This is actually is Lent, and Lent is a time of self-reflection, self-examination, self-denial. It's a time when we use the 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness, and I've talked about the temptations before, and that's not the singing group during Lent. But I want to look at Elijah, who was one of the three that was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And Elijah always represents the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. But there is a real story about a man, too. And I want to look at him for the next few weeks during Lent. I think in some ways that God created the earth to train the faithful, and that would be some of us. And I want to look at Elijah as, and God's basic training, his boot camp, you might say, as applies to anyone who wants to be God's man or woman in this world. Boot camp is the first 6 to 8 weeks in the military, and it's designed to make a mental case out of you. In a lot of ways. Boot camp totally disorients and confuses the new recruits through double time demands, harassment. It's designed to change you from a soft civilian to a soldier. It changes civilians into warriors, you might say, and it confuses, disorients, but it also makes men strong and hard to defend their country. Some never complete it. They choose rather to give up, not get the message. In a very real sense, church is comfortable. God sends his children, though, some of us, through boot camp, especially those who are chosen to be his disciples and witnesses and workers in the world, and we don't sit around too much in this church. It doesn't happen in 8 weeks or 3 months or even years necessarily. The boot camp that God designs for his people is tailor-made for the person involved to turn a civilian Christian into one of God's soldiers in certain ministries that he puts in our place. And it can also be said that every so often God gives us refresher courses. As well, he'll set us aside for some kind of boot camp experience, you might say, and he prepares us for the work that he has for us to do. And sometimes he'll disorient us at times and pull out all the crutches that we lean on. He messes with your mind. He takes away your comfort. He removes things that you once enjoyed or thought was right, and so that he can remake you as a person. He's the potter, we're the clay. And so part of the reason for doing that is to make us more effective as his witness and in a special ministry that he might put in our place. Boot camp in God's army is vital for God's soldiers. Elijah is a good picture for us to look at in order to understand a little of what God does to some of us. And 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah just shows up one day on the scene. He is a prophet, but he is not yet God's man for the battle that he's going to have against Ahab and Jezebel. Now, he obviously has been called by God, but he hasn't become the prophet who is God's man for the hour, which is later on in his story. Now, the confirmation of his becoming God's man for this hour in history comes in verse 24 of 1 Kings 17, and I have it printed, and it's the first scripture, and it's after what we're going to be talking about. Let's read it together. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Now, between verse 1 and 24, Elijah's boot camp experience takes place. And today I want to look at the first 7 verses. So let's read verse 1 together. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Now, here we have Elijah the Tishbite. He suddenly appears on the scene and the pages of the Bible in direct confrontation to the king of Israel, Ahab. God calls him because Ahab and Jezebel have erected an altar to Baal and built a statue to Asherah. And he pronounces to Ahab, there's going to be a drought in the land, which is God's weapon against Ahab and Israel and Jezebel. And it's in the hands of Elijah the prophet to command. Now, water in the Bible always represents God's grace or and his blessing. And God is telling these people that he is withdrawing his blessing from them. And Elijah says also, it will be years in length. Now listen, it takes guts to take a stand like that in front of a king and queen, the government, who are already killing off all the prophets of Israel. And he says, it isn't going to rain until I say so, as God is my witness. And he says these things, and then he disappears for 40 months. And essentially, Elijah blows in, blows off, and blows out, basically. That's what he does. Let's read verses 2 through 4. And the word of the Lord came to him, "Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Now, if you think about these verses, you know, one of the things is these stories are actually pictures of principles. We really learn two things. First, God tells Elijah to get into hiding. And second, God would make sure that Elijah survived during this hiding period. Now, there probably was part of Elijah that said, "Wait, Lord, you just called me to be your prophet and to be your voice, and now you're telling me to go and hide myself?" Sometimes one of the most difficult commands is to hear and obey. Hear and obey the command from God to get out of the public eye and the spotlight. This is especially true if you're inclined towards leadership at times. If you are a capable person and you are thrust out of the limelight and the activity, and essentially it is God who tells you to live in a hidden life for a while, it can go against the grain, you might say. It happens to God's people. He says, "I want you to get alone, and you stay there until I say you can come out of hiding." Sometimes it has to do with our physical condition that causes us to do this. The Hebrew word Cherith that is here literally means the place of cutting. And Elijah was going to be cut off from the world. And it is also a place where God is going to cut him down to size, you might say. He's going to whittle on him. And God sometimes puts us into a place of concealment where it is difficult to get a sense of purpose. And I call this the hidden life. We may be involved with all kinds of activity in reality, but essentially we are living a hidden life with no wind in our sails. In Elijah's case, there were two reasons that God sent him into hiding. And I expect that these are the reasons we end up in hiding as well, without a sense of purpose. The first reason was to protect him. The world around him was after him. Jezebel wanted his head, and she was the representative of evil. So Ahab represented the government, and he went along with his wife, Jezebel. The second reason was for special training. God needed to whittle on him, cut him down to size, you might say. So God puts Elijah in his place and he tells him he's going to survive. He sometimes does that to us as well. He puts us in a place. It's a place of a hidden life, you might say, and we survive. But it certainly isn't the Holiday Inn with room service. We see in verse 4 that Elijah is fed by birds and drinks water from a brook. And he's there beside the brook Cherith, the place of concealment, for about 40 months. Now, I want you to think about time here. What happened during that 40 months? Well, he certainly didn't watch TV or read books. And the prophet was in training in secret. And a lot of times that's what God does with us. He trains us in secret. If he was to be the voice of God in the public eye, it was going to require severe experience, discipline for him as a prophet. For 40 months, he lived in isolation and seclusion. Why so long and why so severe, this hidden life? And the reason sometimes can be very humbling, because in reality, we're not to be trusted at times. And the second reason was the world needed to go without grace for a period of time. And that was the water. The truth is, we're not able to bear the place of honor because our self rises up in pride a lot of times, because our egos are there so quickly, and we're so easily ready to believe that we are something more than an instrument and an agent of God. And how easy it is for any of us to make the very service or ministry or business or job or talent that God entrusts to us into a pedestal in which we can display ourselves. God says to Elijah, you get away from the lights and you get into the mountains with me and let's get some serious downtime together. And you're in boot camp then. And so Elijah is a picture for some of us at various times in our lives of how God will put us in a hidden life for some serious basic training. Let's read verses 5 and 6 together. Here we go. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now I want you to look at the obedience of Elijah in verse 5. So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. Obedience. That is a key thing in terms of our Christian lives, by the way. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus in this world, he requires obedience. If you want to be of service to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be of service directly proportionate to how obedient you are. Obedience to follow the basic training. So Elijah is obedient to the discipline and the training. He goes and he dwells by this brook. Now, it is one thing to go on a backpacking expedition for a couple of weeks, but it's another thing to dwell by the brook. And Elijah does. And he doesn't know for how long. God told Elijah, you be there, you stay there, you live there. Only a starting time. So Elijah does as he is told. What about you? There's got to be a self-application here. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, it will require obedience. Boot camp is kind of tough for the disciple. I've come to realize that a lot of Christians are just tourists in the Christian life. They take tours in Christianity. They take tours in serving God. They are drafted into God's army. They serve a tour of duty. And then they go back to being a civilian. They don't want to go and join God's army and go through the boot camp and make it a lifelong career. Well, even for those who just do a short tour of duty, There is sometimes severe basic training in God's boot camp. But Elijah, he was a lifer in God's army. He dwelt there. He lived it. He was not a tourist. What about you? Where are you in terms of your personal discipleship? This is Lent. It's a time for self-examination. Now, I grant you, most of us would probably not accept this assignment and just say, well, yes, sir, let's do it. We enjoy our Christianity because of its comforts. And if a few of those comforts happen to get in the way, get snatched away, we rise up in indignity and we can raise holy hell. Elijah essentially says to God, if you want me to speak as your prophet in front of Ahab, I will. If you want me to be by the brook in silence and solitude and in secret, I will. Obedience to the training and the will of God. Verse 5 says here, he went and he lived there, very indefinite. Birds brought him sandwiches in the morning and sandwiches in the evening. Cool water from the brook. Talking and listening to God without interruption. I wonder how he handled the isolation. I wonder how he handled being jerked out of his former life, whatever that was. I wonder if he was used to being in the limelight back then, too. It can be pretty doggone lonely by yourself, just you and God. You know, we talk about this and we sing the praises of that, but just you and God. But he was being taken care of, but he was hidden. And he was protected. The hidden life. We all have one. Is there anybody here who God is working on you right now? In some ways, you are actually in the boot camp of God right now, hidden away for your own protection, but also to get you in shape for whatever that ministry is that God wants you to be in. Have you been there? Could have happened before. There may be some of us who are heading for boot camp too right now. And the reason we've essentially obeyed a call in our hearts and he's getting us ready. I want to look a little farther here and let's read verse 7 together. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. One day, Elijah gets up and he notices that the brook isn't running with the same force as it had in days past. And he watches further, and each day it seems to be less and less. And finally, it becomes just a trickle, and he starts collecting water in containers. And then one day, there's no water. The brook dries up. Now remember, this is God's boot camp. Can anybody here identify with this? At one time, a full bank account, a bustling lifestyle, a magnificent business, but the brook dried up. At one time, you knew the joy of serving God, of being used, of being filled with God's love and joy. It was a position of excitement in God's kingdom, but the brook dried up. A time when you were like Elijah in front of Ahab and Jezebel. A time when you were God's witness in a particular thing, but the brook dried up. A time when you weren't of the world, but at least you were in the world and you were sent by God into a personal basic training. And then, well, the brook dries up. At one time you were in the mainstream, but now you seem to be in spiritual backwater. And it seems to be drying up. The one time you were plugged in, but you moved to this community or this church or from another church or somebody may move to another community at some point in time and you aren't plugged into God's people or won't be in the future and you get called by God and you go to school and you end up someplace there. You don't have enough money or when you finish, you didn't seem to be used in terms of things, and the brook dries up. Your marriage a few years ago looked like the perfect marriage, but the brook dried up. Your family life, your relationships with friends were good, but now the brook's dried up. There's no water. And in the Bible, water represents grace and blessing. And when the water dries up, the blessing is gone, and grace is nowhere to be found. But let me say, when the brook dries up, God is still alive, and he is well, and he knows what he is doing. But I don't know about you, but I don't always believe that when my brook dries up, he's around. I have this experience in my life and in the ministry that God has given me over the years, where my brook has dried up at times. My vision gets blurred or things go dark and I can't see. And I've had those things. I knew that God wasn't dead, but it sure seemed like he was deaf, at least as far as it seemed like he wasn't hearing me. He might be hearing other people, but he wasn't hearing me. And I expect that some of you can identify with this, and it has been terrible at times. You speak to God, nothing seems to come back. The brook dried up. It seemed like God's grace dries up at times. You think about Elijah, and I expect this prophet experienced disillusionment and discouragement and even despair during these 40 months that he was out there, especially near the end. And we need to remember that it was God who called Elijah and who told Elijah what to do and where to go. God was putting Elijah through boot camp and basic training because he had a big deal coming up in front of him. And I think there are lessons for us as well. We can learn from these pictures in the Old Testament. This scripture of 7 verses, which represent about 40 months in the life of Elijah, is a picture for some of us, maybe right now, or has been in the past, or dare I say it, the future. If you're called by God to be one of his people, if you are a person who names Jesus as your personal Savior, and you are really striving to make him Lord of your life, then the picture here of Elijah is a picture for you. You only have to plug in the framework and the structure of your own personal life. I've always said that when you start reading the Bible as autobiography, that's when you become a Christian. In the middle of God's boot camp, it is easy to think that God has forgotten you, but he hasn't. He watches you. You continually are before him. Not for one moment does he lose track of you. I know that sometimes we think that, he's not thinking about me. But God never says this. Where'd he go? He was here just a minute ago. Where'd he get off to? How'd he get over there? God doesn't say that kind of stuff. He knows where you are. Exactly. And you are exactly where he wants you when you follow him in obedience. But a lot of times, sometimes, it hurts pretty good. I have a group of lessons from boot camp down here. I wrote them out so that you have them and you can take them with you. The first lesson is this: he has you covered, and he may have put you in it on purpose. Second lesson is, God who gave the water can choose to take it away. You know, we have this idea that once God gives us a mate or a child, he should never take that mate or child away. Once God gives us a business or a job or a ministry, he should never take it away. But it's sometimes, in order to get us deeper, he will let the brook dry up. God who gives blessing can take them away. Third lesson is, since Elijah was in God's will and being obedient, he was actually following what he was supposed to do. The brook dried up as a direct result of his spoken prophecy and prayer. Now you got to think about that. Elijah got exactly what he said was going to happen. The very thing that he had prayed for was beginning to take place, and he was living in the result of his own prayer. Have you ever had that happen? What you prayed for comes to be, and yet it's tough. The brook dries up. And the fourth lesson is this: the hidden life is where we really learn. It's not out here in public so much as it's in that hidden life. Lord, make me a godly man or a godly woman, but don't let it hurt. Lord, make me patient, gracious, but don't put me into situations that demand that I be patient and gracious. If God starts to take away some of the comforts, we'll start bargaining for positioning, won't we? Okay, Jesus, let's do it your way up to a point. And then let's do it my way for a while. Okay? 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 Jesus, teach me things. Make me strong, but don't let me suffer. Have you ever bargained with God? Of course you have. I take tours in your lives. God's spiritual boot camp is to develop maturity in discipleship, in witness, and in service. He doesn't put us through it to make us comfortable. He shaves off our hair. He takes away our civilian clothes. He removes our civilian lifestyle. He changes our diet. He alters our place of living. He changes our thinking. Just like military boot camp. He takes away our pride, and he builds a new kind of pride in us. We no longer defend ourselves, but we find ourselves defending and advancing the kingdom of God. Boot camp is to make you a spiritual soldier. Lesson five is personal. Elijah was willing to be set aside as well as to be used. It is a hard lesson to learn. For some of us, the hidden life is tough, but of great value. We must be willing to be set aside as well as to be used. God speaks the loudest in the stillness of the hidden life when we are set aside. It is in the hidden life that we learn the real principles and values of the kingdom. The real tough lessons are learned in privacy. Lesson number six, there is provision. He will provide. But one of the most important lessons we learned in boot camp is trusting in one day at a time. You cannot live tomorrow today. The reason why so many of us are overwrought and tense and distracted and worried and stressed out is that we have never mastered the art of living one day at a time. Did you notice that God never told Elijah the next step until he took the first step? God told him to go to Ahab, so he went. God told him to tell Ahab, he did. He told him what to say, and he did. He told him to go to the brook and hide. He said he would provide for him. Elijah went. And he did it, and he stayed about 40 months there, and it wasn't until the brook dried up that God told him the next step. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, one day at a time. And finally, a dried brook is often a sign of God's pleasure, not disappointment. You see, the dry brook was part of God's will. It was also a sign to Elijah that the pressure was being put upon Ahab. It was also a sign to Elijah that the Lord was with him because his prophecy was coming into being. And the brook was a sign that the drought was there. Now, we have no idea what God spoke to Elijah during this 40-month period. I guarantee Elijah was being hardened as God's soldier for that day and that circumstance. And I don't know, I have no idea what God is speaking to you during your life and your circumstance. But anyone here who desires to serve the Lord Jesus, God will give you some basic training to harden you for service in this world. And you can ponder this picture because we're going to be walking with Elijah during Lent this year. Where are you right now, disciple of Jesus? Where are you right now? Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help all of us to not only take the picture that you give to us in Scripture, but also the life that you give to us in Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.